Christmas is a time where we really get to focus on the depth of the good news. And today we're thinking about the Advent, the beginning, the arrival of joy in Christmas, at the Christmas story. It is good news for everyone. The one thing we've missed this morning is a particular welcome to those of us who are new here or here for the first time or the first time in a long time. Sorry that we get to this point in the service and we're just saying welcome to you as well. But you are really welcome. We're a community where each and every one of us every week comes expecting God to do something in our lives. We come waiting to hear from his word. We come on equal ground. So if you're here for the first time, welcome, or the first time in a long time, a really special welcome. If you would like to connect with people at the welcome desk at the end, well, you get a cup of coffee and a chocolate if you want one. But those of us who've been around for more than a couple of weeks, no more chocolate, okay? But we're welcome, and we are welcomed in Christ's name. Joy. Wonder what you think about joy and whether you're feeling it this morning. Lots of joy and sadness alongside one another as we welcome in Matt and Mel and as we farewell the Edmeads. Just for a point, the Edmeads aren't leaving this week. This is just the best week to do the official farewell. Don't be surprised if you see them again. Be delighted, joyful even. But we're thinking about this good news for all people that the angels first declared on that Christmas night. Breaking into the ordinary and the everyday. Declaring joy, great joy for all people. This news that Jesus is born came to them and has come to us. The declaration of the angels is as true today as it was for them, and it's to bring us joy today as it did them. In Luke 2, verse 10 and 14, we read this: I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is well pleased. And we sang those final words in He Honore earlier. All people, all languages, all nations, all tribes have been affected by this one event in history. And I don't know about you, and I don't know if you've written any stories, or we've got at least one novelist in the room. But when we write stories that want significant events to be really significant and well pointed to in history. Kings tend to be born in palaces with great privileges. Historical events tend to be lauded by big news and by everybody seeing it. But Jesus' birth wasn't like that. The most important birth in the whole of history was done in quiet, away from the spotlight. And so heaven breaks through. And the angels, the angelic host who serve God, broke into this world and shouted for all to hear, but particularly for a group of shepherds to hear. Good job that they started with, do not be afraid, because every time angels appear in the Bible, they say, don't be frightened. So they must have been pretty terrifying, and there were loads of them. Shouting from the highest of the heavens, this is the best news, this is the greatest news of great joy for all people. It was joy for the shepherds. Those who are the least and the last are the first to hear. Maybe you're here this morning feeling like the least and the last, the most forgotten, the least significant, the least important in this room. Maybe in other contexts of your life, you're feeling like you're overlooked and overseen. You're not really that important. And listen to the shepherds. Count yourself among them. They sat on hillsides with smelly sheep. They weren't loved. They weren't respected. They were a kind of a class of people who were suspected and dishonored in their society. Bethlehem was the house of bread. Literally, that's what its name means. It was the place where lots of food came out of. And the thing that was particularly important for Bethlehem was servicing the temple with lambs. A lambs that were to be offered as sacrifice, grew up, born at Bethlehem. A short journey to the temple. That's why the shepherds are on the hills. That's why of David's line, who was a shepherd back then. They were great for growing grass and for producing livestock, sheep. And so from the house of bread comes a lamb who will be slain. Loved and provided. And it is these men who look after the lambs and the sheep who are the first to hear. For you today in David's town is born a Savior who is Christ the Messiah, the Lord. This is the best news. This is the greatest joy. I'm going the wrong way. Joy for the Magi. Maybe this morning you feel like you don't belong in this place or in the places where you inhabit most of your time. Maybe you are born far afield. Maybe you weren't born into a church-going family. Maybe the way in which you've been living makes you feel like you don't belong in church and you're just here by accident or dint of tradition, or you didn't have anything better to do on a Sunday. Then count yourself among the Magi. See, they were born way, way off Babylon, somewhere around that area, these wise men. Daniel, from the book of Daniel, would have been one of these kind of men, trained up in the astronomy and astrology, the wisdom and the practices of the Babylonian culture. Now, this is about 500 years after Daniel. But Daniel and his friends and those who'd been there in the Jewish exile had obviously left writings and an indelible mark in the wisdom of this tradition of Magi. Because they saw a star rise. And they recognized something about that star. Now, you and I aren't wise enough to necessarily understand what was going on in the heavens. But as Jesus is born, this star rises. And they see it and they begin a journey. It is joy enough to leave your home for and going to places you do not know for the good news to be heard. Matt and Mel, you've left home and family. Like the Magi, although maybe slightly less wise and learned. Although 3 years of Bible college, who knows? I don't know how much astrology and astronomy you did during your studies, but the Magi would outstrip you on that one. Lan, Rosemary, Anna, Sam. Joy enough to leave your home for. Jesus has caused men and women to leave home again and again and again and find home in unlikely places. They thought they knew where they were headed, to Jerusalem and to the throne room and the court of Herod, the so-called great. I ended up in Bethlehem at an outbuilding, finding a child, toddler, by the time they got to him. Not what they expected, not what they wanted, but there they worshipped him and gave him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh that spoke of his kingship, of him being the answer to prayers and the one through whom prayers will be given and the one who will make great sacrifice in death. The shepherds and the Magi discovered the joy of Christmas and the joy of life in all its fullness. Not much joy for Herod. We saw that last week as the lads performed that piece for us. This is one of the most disturbing episodes in the New Testament. The joy of the whole earth disturbs the powerful. The King of Kings is vulnerable. A child in a manger, a toddler through the streets. And because of that, all who hold power are themselves vulnerable. Because the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, has humbled himself to live among us, to learn, to grow, to even form words. He who spoke the universe into being will learn to say mama, baba. We'll learn to eat and make a mess. We'll fill nappies and vom and be that frail and fragile that he might grow to be one with us, one of us. God himself in human form. So much a human that we would not recognize him as God just to look at him. So much God that it's hard to believe that he's fully human. But those two things are true in this chubby-cheeked, we presume, toddler. And it disturbs Herod to his very core and in him provokes murderous intent. He sends his army of might to ransack Bethlehem and kill all the boys under the age of two. What grief, what sorrow. We've experienced a bit of national grief this week around Fakari, White Island. This year has been a year of national grief for us with the terrorist attack in Christchurch, with so much more. But imagine one of our small towns in strolls a pile of well-armed men to kill all boys under two. All because one insecure, powerful man can't face a threat to his power. The joy of the whole earth disturbs powerful people, shakes us to our core. We'll challenge white privilege, we'll challenge patriarchy, we'll challenge the religious and political elite of our day as it did then. It will shake us where we feel powerful, this joy, and will cause us to be vulnerable and call us to give up our ideas of what's right and wrong. And so to rejoice in all its fullness. The joy of Anna and Simeon, which is actually jumping back in time but forward in the birth narratives. Spoke with the Evergreens on this just a week ago. Struck by this old man and this old woman, discovering joy in their last days when it looks like life has gone behind them. Now, there's some discussion about whether in the text it says when Anna is 84, whether it's referring to her as a widow of 84 years in length, so placing her probably in the early 100s, or whether she's 84 years old. It's a good discussion going on that I'm reading about at the moment. I think I'm favouring that she was a widow for 84 years, having been married for seven. Probably married in her mid-teens, widowed in her early 20s, 84 years as a widow. That much loss, that much grief. That long a period of suffering, the rejection and the judgment of the society around her. And still, she's got the chutzpah to walk around the temple courts and tell everyone that here is salvation. Simeon, an old, old, old dude, waiting out his days in the temple courts, not long left. A life well lived. And then he sees the baby Jesus coming to be circumcised and presented before God according to the Old Testament law. And says, now I can depart in peace. This is joy. It's never too late to see God fulfill his promise. God is never slow and not unwilling to fulfill his promises, no matter how long we wait. At the moment, we're looking at a building site around on Carolands Road. Many of us in the congregation have been waiting about 24 years to see that site. I've been around for 4.5 years and I can hardly believe it's happening. But it is happening. And God is not slow to deliver the joy of the fullness of his promises. Anna and Simeon want to tell us that there is joy for you and for me today. And the season of Christmas gives us the opportunity to reflect on that and to rejoice in that, to stand in it and dwell in it again and again and again in the midst of all the busyness. And there is lots of busyness, eh? End of year, end of school year, and Christmas, summer parties all together. I grew up when Christmas and summer and end of school year were separated. Arriving in New Zealand, I appreciate the complete bonkersness of this season. But what a joy in the midst of this busyness, in the round of concerts and of social gatherings, of meals, the never-ending round of meals, that we can stop and rejoice in that which is truly joyful. To remember that in our vulnerability there was a child in a manger. That in our sorrows there is good news. That in our busyness the Lord calls the world to stop and think and know this joy that the angels declared. There is joy for you and for me in Jesus. And we get a chance to discover it all over again, or for the very first time, each day, every day, but especially at Christmas. That's what our Christmas services that will kick off next Sunday morning are really about. That we might discover again the joy of Christmas. That we might go to our neighbours, obeying the call of the angels, and say, come and listen. There's joy to be found. That we might say to the rich and the powerful in our lives, who want to lord it over us, there is joy to be found in Jesus that disturbs this power and gives me the freedom to disobey it. There is joy in Jesus to be discovered. That means that no matter how long we've been waiting for God to answer his promises, that we can find joy in him, in our disappointments, in the things that are difficult, there is joy in Jesus. That joy goes not just on the 25th of December, but into every day. We don't know what the year ahead holds for us. But we know with absolute certainty that it holds more of him who calls us to himself. And so we face each day with that joy, that hope, that power, that freedom.